has an inverted twist. Is he in? He is. Touchdown, Bo Boquist. And that could be George Tegger.
Simon Rumpfel has it. Simon inside the five. Sis boom ball. Simon Rumpfel, his second touchdown today.
UND Football 360.
Isaiah trying to get outside, a stiff arm, shuts him down, 20, inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. Oh, that right arm, that stiff arm, and the book of Isaiah has given North Dakota a first down.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast with your host, Kelly Howe, Matt Nelson, and Dave McNamara.
The winter weather is finally here. It's Wednesday here as we record this week's show, and I think the whole state of North Dakota has pretty much seen winter weather, and it's taking me back to if we were playing today at the old Memorial Stadium, we'd have those heaters and the old plastic up around, those little plastic barricades, and maybe some students on the visiting sideline would be chucking a few snowballs. Remember those days?
Yeah, it was always a little more fun, a little wild out there, a little unknown. You know, nobody quite knew what the next person was going to do, you know, right. Just because it was so cold. And
well, I never saw a game at Memorial as a spectator, but I was fortunate to have two seasons at Memorial, my red shirt and then my freshman year. But, yeah, it was a great place to play a football game, though, especially late in the season, you know, hard and tested with the elements, but
were you guys
kind of lost that in Laris?
If you had to play today, would you wear sleeves or no sleeves? Oh, were you a tough guy?
Double,
God, no, yeah.
He's a safety.
Double sleeves, leg things on.
Tights. Have you ever had a tough safety?
Thick, yeah, double gloves. Are you kidding me? God, I was freezing. I had no body fat. Yeah, you kidding me? Skin and bone, like freezing out there. I'm the guy. Asking for him to call the game.
Yeah. Out here. We play this in 6 months.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. God, no, yeah. Then at the same time I'm doing that, those guys would come out with no sleeves.
Like, yeah.
What the hell? You know, no, I'm just concerned about where the heater was.
Because if an offensive lineman wears sleeves, that's not a good sign, right? Those guys are all apparently pretty tough, right?
Well, they got, yeah.
Yeah. There's
extra
little
layers of.
Right. Little
fat, more whatever, muscle, call it muscle, whatever you want to call it. They had it on them. That some of us didn't have.
I think you let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, those days were sure fun. But welcome back to another week. It's the UND Football 360 pregame show. Thanks to our friends at Rumors Sports Bar, Grill and Casino, home of that $7 lunch. God, I could go. God, what did we have? We had What did we have?
Grinder.
Yeah.
Grinder.
The taco meat. Yeah.
Taco meat grinder.
There's more than one grinder in Grand Forks, folks, and Rumors is one of the places to go. Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast, horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel. I don't know about you guys, but I could go after this, go do horse racing for the next 10 hours.
Yeah. $1,000 bingo. Remember that, folks. $1,000 bingo, no matter how many people show up. They really want to get that out there because it is a hell of a deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about when it comes to bingo, usually, you know, some places will set a minimum. So they didn't set a minimum. So,
and I've learned, you know what goes really good with bingo? One of those tall beers at Rumors. I know from experience.
Right.
Kelly Howe Agency, NoDak Insurance. Make sure you're up to date on that auto now with all that ice out there.
Right. Careful. Slow down, folks. We don't need phones ringing off the hook around the area. There's been a lot of accidents out today. On the interstate. The radio has been going crazy with all the accidents. And, yeah, slow down. You don't want to get...
People forget to drive in this stuff, you know. Yep.
Well, you don't want to work too hard, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Hey, I'm here. That's what I'm here for. But it's like you don't want claims if you don't need to be. So slow down. It changes in a hurry, though. It's bad out there. It's sliding around, and yeah, it's plus ice damming on the homes. You got to watch the gutters. Right. Watch your gutters. Make sure they're make sure it's not backing up under the shingles.
What are you writing this week? What's the special?
It's always homes.
Home.
Home rates are good, Tank.
The Toasted Frog, fine dining in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo. The 1883 Collective, that NIL arm for UND Athletics. They've got big things happening there. Also for businesses, they want to push that. Some great programs to help out the University of North Dakota athletes. Interstate Industrial, steam cleaning and painting in the Bakken oil fields, thanks to Marty Shade. And American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. Pretty much anything you need a logo, go check out tanklogo.com. And I can help set you up with promotional products or corporate apparel. Like I said, anything with a logo, and we got our T-shirts.
Yes, we got our T-shirts in.
Just in time.
Got a box of T-shirts, first run. They're in. Got to figure out what to do with them. Right. You know, we'll, of course, I forgot them today, like usual. But, yeah, they look good. Look good. Got the green with the 360 logo on the front. Did a nice job, Tank. Turned out well. And
thank you.
I think the I like the material. That was the key. See, Tank'll attest. I went back and forth a little bit. I don't want a cardboard shirt. Okay, we don't want those. But they seem to kind of phase those out. You don't see much of those anymore. But I don't want the dry fit, right? And you can get them. Oh, yeah, they're okay. But I was like, where's the in-between those soft T-shirts? And Tank was the guy. Tank found them.
Don't show your nipples too much, right?
Yeah.
You don't want the party darts hanging out.
Right. There we go. That's right.
Is it cold in here?
Kelly's cold.
I'm a little chilled.
Yeah, so be looking for your 360 T-shirts. Well, let's go ahead to the Kelly Howe Agency game review. UND loses 42-36 to drop to 5-6 on the year, but... You know what, fellas? We were way off in our predictions, and I'm okay with that because a different UND team showed up in that first half than we'd seen in the last couple weeks. Would you guys agree on that?
Yeah, for sure. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought we had a good first half. We were playing good football. Our defense stepped up. We were stopping them. Put ourselves in position to really win that football game, and... You know, I think just South Dakota after the start of the second half, they just kind of imposed their will on us and, you know, proved that they were the better football team, and you know, all around. So,
right, yeah, it was a positive start. I mean, the Alaris Center was a little mediocre crowd. You know, I mean, I think it was I'd guess 7,000-8,000 there, but they tried to be into it early, and then UND gave them life. They're came out ready to play. So they were prepared to play. It was good to see. It was a good football game. We got up 14-0. I mean, we were winning this thing 14-0.
Right.
And the first half, we controlled, not controlled, but we were the better team 90% of the first half, let's call it, just if you had to make up a number. and Sawyer Seidel's touchdown run, the first, that was electric. He got through that right side and was gone. Nobody was catching him. And speaking of which, excuse me. It was a battle of two extremely fast running backs. Oh, my God. Charles Pierre, their guy. Holy God, that guy can run. Well, between him and Seidel, I'd love to see a foot race because he had two long runs, Pierre did. And then Seidel's 51-yard run, the first touchdown, was a long. Nobody touched him either. So it was a fun game. A lot of fireworks. The key that changed the game was the end of the first half.
Well, the old saying is sometimes the most important part of a game is the 2 minutes of the first half, the last 2 minutes, and the first 2 minutes of the second half, and that was a big factor.
Yeah.
In this case, it was the last 57 seconds because we scored. Quincy Vaughn went up high, caught that touchdown. That was a nice touchdown catch by Quincy.
Yeah.
Goes up, put us up 21-10. Crowds into it. It was good. Good atmosphere. Real and so 57 seconds left, you're thinking, okay, you know, worst case, we hold them to a field goal or something. Well, combination of just a penalty and a big play, and all of a sudden they go down and they score. You know, and what they score was 16 seconds left in the half. So now it's 21-17. Okay, we still have the lead. So, okay, you're number four or five team in the country. We still have the lead. All right, we'll go into the half. Shouldn't have shell shocked them too bad. I mean, it might have been a little buzzkill, but hey, you go in there, you regroup. Problem is, they came out and went right down the field. And I believe that was one, they hit Charles Pierre on that little arrow route. He came out of the backfield, act like he was going to the flat, darted back into the middle, just hit him, and he turned on the afterburners, you guys, and went straight up the field, and not one guy touched him, I believe. Oh, my God.
I kept hearing Mike Berg on the radio saying, if I wasn't UND, I'd love to watch South Dakota on a weekly basis. Like, they're fun to watch. They've got a lot of pieces in place, and And he was a fan of their football team. And yep. just like you said, they showed it at times on Saturday.
Yeah, so that play, though, yeah, to Pierre, I mean, they know where their playmakers are, like you said, Tank. And that made it 24-21. So in a span of, well, 3 game minutes,
yeah,
they scored 14 points over the course of the half, you know, before and after the half. And all of a sudden they have the lead. You know, to our credit, though, you know, we tried to come back at the end, but you can see, if you look at the box score, 24-21, 27-21, 35-21, 42-21. They all of a sudden, I mean, the third quarter into the start of the fourth was a disaster.
Yeah.
And they just pulled away to the point where, yeah, we came back, and, you know, credit to Simon, Bo, those guys, they made some plays second in the late fourth quarter to get us back in it. And how about, hey, how about that onside kick? So he lays it on its side. Did you see it? Like the way he does that?
They've been doing it differently now.
Yeah.
Every kicker does it completely. They don't even use the tee anymore.
Well, in the one guy in the NFL, was it the NFL or was it college the other day where he kicked it and went really high? He got the old school hop. I saw one on Twitter where he got the double short hop and then the big one that you're looking for. And he got it and it went 10 feet in the air. Their team got it. But Elrichs lays it on its side on the tee, and then what kicks one end of the ball, you know, let's call it 25% over to the right of the ball, kicks it so it's spinning sideways like a record, but it's going out, and then it just starts going all over the damn place. But it made it 10 yards, and it was like, I rewatched the thing 10 times. Like, what did I just watch? The ball, like, I don't even think South Dakota knew where the ball was, you know?
Well, it's a great technique. I mean, obviously we got the result that we wanted out of it. So, and got ourselves into position to at least have a shining glimmer of hope to win that game. But, you know,
and we could have got the second one too. I mean, Bo almost came up with that one too. So, I mean, that was pretty cool that they, you know, we did that. Got gave ourselves a chance at the end.
Right. Yeah.
Positive. But it was just that third quarter. Just God dang, man. I mean, getting down like, oh boy, what was it? 32 unanswered points.
Yeah.
You know, in a row, that'll do it.
And then how much was just them wearing us out?
Right, yeah.
In the second, you know.
Well, they started with Tice, you know, started running him a little bit, and then, you know, obviously Pierre. But, yeah, South Dakota ended up with 512 yards.
Yeah, we gave up over 300 yards on the ground. That's going to wear out your defense in a hurry.
Yeah, it was it got away. You know, it got away. Thankfully, South Dakota had a lot of penalties. They had 12 penalties for 132 yards. There was a lot of 15-yarders in this game. It was I don't know what was going on, but there was a lot. The refs were active in this, and they called holding. One of the guys, I'm standing in the end zone, one of the Michigan crew, you know, they go, hey, they called a holding earlier, too. Yeah. So we got one. You know,
Before we move on from this game, is South Dakota real? For real, Kelly?
Hey.
You know, when it comes to the playoffs,
I thought
are they a
so.
Top four team in the country?
I think on a good day at home, maybe they did not. I was expecting a hell of a lot more. Put it that way, out of that team when you know their defense didn't look that great. I mean, we put up 36, which is the most they've given up all year. We only had 323 yards, which okay, but we put up 36 and. I don't know. I was expecting more. Here's the one thing I was thinking on the way over. Their O-line traditionally is big, but not as nimble. Okay? Like NDSU's is nimble. Those guys can move, and they can maul. South Dakota State, same thing. South Dakota typically is good, but got some slow guys in there. Feet aren't the best, but they're 320 pounds. You know, that type of thing. That reared its head again in this one. They were good. Obviously, but we were pressuring them hard in the first half. I mean, our D linemen were beating them one-on-one. And Bauman was trying to run a little counter action in the back. He doesn't even drop back. He kind of catches it 3 yards behind the line, does a little fake counter, and then wants to throw a pop pass. And we were on him. I mean, he was turning around for the pop pass, and we were on him. And so that gave me flashbacks of our previous games where we were beating them up front and they were having trouble. So I think they're going to run into a little bit of issues if they run, you know, you know, a D line. Like, well, this weekend they got NDSU. That'll be the test. Let's see how they do against NDSU, and I'll answer that.
Yeah,
you know, they after
that. At home too, right?
Yep. Yeah, they'll look better. They'll look better at home than they did this past weekend. But it's a good question, Tank, because it gave me coming into the game. I would say yes. I would say top five. They can make the semis, right? I don't know. I'm just a little thrown off by what I saw, but, you know.
You know, they could have been, you know, not taking us that serious, too, looking at a record like, hey, we got this in the bag. You know, who knows what they were thinking coming into the game, you know, because we did get the jump on them. So, you know, that might be a little telling where did they just not take us as serious as they should have.
Well, they should have. They haven't won in the Grand Forks since 1986.
I'm just trying to make sense of it, right? You know, but I mean, it's...
I don't know why they would.
Right, but
one of the toughest teams to play at home in the country, regardless of...
Who knows? I mean, just...
Yeah,
it's a fickle sport
when they get in
too,
that,
right?
When people get in that building, they don't play as well.
Right.
I mean, we've seen that, you know. But they had, you know, the 301, they have 322 yards rushing. But, yeah, so the O-line is obviously good. I'm not trying to downplay their O-line, but I'm saying you brought up, are they a top four team?
Yeah.
Well, now we got to qualify them. Are they basically a top four O-line?
Well,
because, you know, they pretty much to make the semis and win it.
Right.
Only the best O-lines make it to Frisco. I mean, we've seen that.
Yeah.
So unless you're Bo Baldwin and you got Cooper Kupp and Kendrick Bourne, you know, then you might make it, you know, or something. Then you might make it to the semis without a great O-line. But.
Well, going back to our Sam Herder interview, he asked the question, is this team actually built to win a national championship? And are they? I don't think they are, but I think they're close.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, I think they're a little closer than we are.
Well, yeah.
The other three Dakota schools are right there.
Yeah, they're all in the top five, three of the top five, and we're 5 and 6. So it's like, you know, I mean, I know we can, you know, later we can talk now, whatever. We're talking off the air, and we want to, you know, because we'll probably have a podcast to the fans listening right now. We'll probably have them coming up in a couple weeks, recap the season. You know, give our thoughts, but I mean, we can give some thoughts now too. But
it's good to catch your breath a little bit after the season before you start critiquing. But tell you what, let's take a trip around the Missouri Valley quick. Boy, would have been a fun one. Youngstown State, Northern Iowa. Wow.
Yeah, that one is a wild one.
39-38, Youngstown picks up the win over Northern Iowa.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. I was calling that. I think Youngstown got up early. Northern Iowa came back, and then they just dueled, you know, a couple teams that are out of it, but weren't giving up. And Farley, you know, Farley, credit, he gave his announcement that he's retiring.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Farley, great, you know, a longtime coach, legend in the Missouri Valley. So maybe they had a little juice to him. You know, Northern Iowa play for him a little bit type of thing. So
because he was there during their D2 days too, wasn't he? Didn't he transition them to?
They've been going double A for
70s,
a long time.
Early 80s. They went.
Was it
double A?
I think he started coaching 89, said or something as assistant at UNI for Terry Allen.
Okay,
but then
I know he's been there for like 35 years.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like 89. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he started as an assistant. So yeah, it was. They probably had a little juice to them,
yeah.
You know, which is good. Now that became a wild game. I suppose two teams with nothing to lose. That's what I hope UND this weekend. I mean, just
goes out and plays, right?
Yeah, let's just see some, you know.
Yeah. Indiana State loses to Illinois State 31-19. Any surprises there?
No, Illinois State, they're 8-3. We're going to preview them in a little bit. They're on the fringe. They should get in, but they're, you know, I'll get into their resume a little bit later. But, yeah, I mean, Indiana State coming off that 49-0 drubbing to South Dakota the week before, you know, they're another team that looks better. Looks better at home like everyone else, right?
Kentucky over Murray State, 48-6. No surprises there. South Dakota State over Southern Illinois, 41-10. Surprise Southern Illinois got 10 on them?
Yeah. Yeah, they're down.
And NDSU takes care of Missouri State, 59-21.
Surprising.
Yeah,
maybe thought that game was be a little closer, right?
Well, Missouri State was putting up so many points that I mean they went in there and they just, I mean NDSU jumped on them from the beginning and just smothered them. Couldn't get anything. Case in point, another program. Well, the program we've had, you know, we've watched credit to NDSU. We don't talk about them a lot, but you might as well praise them. They get better at the end of the year every single year. They're playing their best football in week 11 or 12, whatever the season is. That's when they're playing their best football. And 59-21 over Missouri State will show that. Okay, Missouri State was putting up 30, 40, 50 a week. And what were they, 8-2, I believe, coming into the game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 59-21, I mean, that's an ass-kicking, and that shows they're playing, South Dakota State's getting better here, peaking. You have to peak at the end of the year, and that's where UND, we'll get into it in our review, and we've talked about her this year, but, UND just is never playing their best football at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's always game 4 or 5.
Yeah, and I don't get it. It's just confusing, but yeah, credit to NDSU. That's what they do. They get better as the season goes on, and it's not just – it's mental. It's a mentality. It's a instilled mentality. I mean, they get change coaches. They change, and everything stays the same for the most part. And still won a lot of games, but he, might have changed slightly during his time, but not much. And now Polisek has it going again to where they're playing well entering the playoffs. So
And he was – he was good at keeping guys around when he got here, too. There's some guys that probably
they didn't
turned
lose much
down
this
some
year.
Better offers, right?
2 years ago, they lost a handful. And, this year, this past year, they were able to keep him around. So, yeah, credit to them. They're number one. They'll get home field throughout. So, yeah, that was definitely, though, to your point, Tank, a surprising score. I'm sure that everyone knew they were going to win, but not by that much.
No, I was surprised. Let's jump ahead to the Toasted Frog 360 game preview. This Saturday, it's Illinois State and the University of North Dakota. Noon kickoff from Illinois State. Illinois State, this is a big game for them, 8-3. You said they could, maybe should be in the playoffs, but the stat, though, is they haven't beat anyone with a winning record.
Oh, God, I was going through their
And so, how does the committee feel about that? Have they had quality losses?
They've definitely had those. No doubt about that. But yeah, I was going through it because I knew before the season they didn't play USD or SDSU. I remember looking at their schedule. I'm like, geez, this is an awful schedule. They're going to have to upset, NDSU or whoever would turn out to be like the fourth best team or fifth best team. And they didn't do that. So the combined record of their wins, okay, the teams they beat, so 8 wins. The combined record is 23-66.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, just a bad schedule. I'm like looking at that thing like, so who do we got? They beat North Alabama, Western Illinois, Eastern Illinois, Southern Illinois, Murray State, Youngstown, Northern Iowa. All of them are down this year. Everyone, the whole list is down this year. And then Indiana State, who is same as they always were, 3 or 4 win team. So
then on the other side of the coin, you look at their losses. They got shut out 40-0 by Iowa. No surprise there. But then a loss to NDSU 42-10. That was a home game for them. Missouri State 41-7.
Missouri State beat them that bad?
Yeah. So you kind of put that into perspective.
I'd love to play them in the first round of the playoffs.
Right. Well, I think their schedule is just not as strong as
123-17 they got outscored in their 3 losses. So, they'll probably get in, but this year, if there was ever a year we shouldn't have screwed this up, it was this year. There's so many bad resumes this year. It's unbelievable. I've been looking before the season. You could kind of see things weren't setting up. Like I said, with Illinois State was a case in point. But as the season went on, I'm like, nobody has, like South Dakota. They don't have any good wins. South Dakota is supposed to be a top 5 team. Their best win is Drake. Well, it is. Well, look at it. They're 7-2. Drake is 7-2. That's the only winning record they got on their whole resume. So if they lose,
but they have a good quality loss against SDSU.
Right. So if they lose to NDSU this weekend, they're going to have beaten nobody, and they're going to be a top 5 or 6 team in the country. you know, it's just a weird year. Everyone's down. I think the portal and just you name the reasons why. But South Dakota is probably the only team that took advantage of the situation. They jumped up, but they started high because of last year's quarterfinal run. Right. So they started up there. But you look around, I mean, the Missouri Valley way down. You know, the Big Sky might get 4-5, you know, and they didn't have anyone jump up really. It's the same as usual. You know, Davis is a little better than they were. But it's just, I don't know, the entire FCS landscape was a mess this year, put it that way.
Curious to see how many players got plucked out of the portal in the Valley.
Right.
Add them all up. You know, we know what it did to us.
Right. That's true.
You know, we talked about that last week. We're three starters on our offensive line that are playing for other programs right now. How do you solve that problem?
I don't know if you can. Now, at this point, I think the genie's out of the bottle. Like, you just kind of have to do the best you can, and hopefully you got enough in the...
Well, I know how you solve it. Okay, if you're listening right now, go to the 1883 Collective, and if we get 10,000 people that all do $20 a month, we'll be just fine.
Yeah, that's...
Simple as that, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, we need to... There's going to be a lot of... There should be, when it comes to UND, there should be a lot of portal searching this winter. Now, you're not going to get the top ones, obviously, the FCS level top ones, because, you know, they haven't. I mean, it's been proven we're not getting them. So, but they got to do something because we're not where we need to be. And, you know, I'm just going to come out and say this. Okay, GPA is great and everything, but I want to win. Okay, I don't care about team GPA. I don't. Never have, never will. And that showed in my...
I was going to say, even when you
were... My academic record, right? Okay? But, you know, I'm somewhat facetious. You know, I'm just kidding a little bit.
What grade did you get in basket weaving, by the way? A?
Hey.
B?
B?
Yeah. C's get the grade,
I missed
right?
a couple days. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have
missed the quiz. Yeah. Well, but it's... I don't care. You know, community service hours, I get that. We do a lot of that. I want to win, okay? It's like... I don't hear South Dakota State like incessantly. I don't see it on Twitter. Maybe I just don't see it, but I don't see them obsessing over their off the field accomplishments. NDSU, same thing. I don't see them. Maybe they're out there. I'm sure they do a lot in the community. I know they do. I see pictures. They go.
Their off field awards are most valuable player,
right?
First team all conference, all American, and national championships.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what they're obsessing over. And if they go, I mean, if a coach goes 8-3, he's on the hot seat and he has one more chance and he's gone. And it just doesn't happen though. But, you know, if he would. Like Bob Babich was 46-12 or 46-20 or something like that, his record, which, all right, you know, not bad.
Not bad.
Gone.
I take full responsibility.
His weekly line.
Yeah,
Bob. Yeah, but, you know, it's just things like that. I want to hear more from the athletic department. I want to hear more from our coaches. I want to hear more about expectation. Weren't met. We didn't meet expectation. We weren't good enough. What are we going to do to get – this is what we need to do to get better. Hey, you know, like a lot of – you know, coaches will come out and say, those FBS guys will say, hey, we're not good enough. Yeah. We're not good enough. We went into Bryant Denny Stadium and we could tell when we left Bryant Denny, we weren't good enough. Okay, we had to do some soul searching and we need to figure out, especially in our secondary. So they'll pinpoint something in their press conference, be like, that showed us right there, we're not ready to compete with these guys. We need to figure something out. You know, that type of talk. Like,
because
it's not always okay.
You're saying it in practice, but now you're letting the public know. So the players are going to be held accountable for it.
So the players hear it, you know, in there, in two. And so it's like, I know we're kind of going off ramp, but what the hell? We might as well. What else do we have to do? So it's the last game of the year. So we might as well. But. That's what I want to, like, what's the goal? Is it championships?
Do we need to see more of, I turned down NDSU and South Dakota State to come to UND.
Which is.
We haven't seen a lot of that.
You're not going to.
Or
probably.
The top, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to start winning those battles, right?
Well, I've talked to several coaches around the league and who have moved on from the league that I know. And they said, you know, when it comes to recruiting, UND is going to have to do something a little more creative than they're doing. okay, the problem being you're not going to get the 6'5", 260 O-lineman who's really good to drive from, because he's not going to be from around here, okay? Because if he is, he's going to be snatched up probably by the Gophers anyway, if he's that good. You know, but let's say he's from Iowa or whatever, okay? You're not going to get him to drive past Brookings and Fargo if they want him. It's just not happening, okay? Because of our location doesn't help. But that's only an excuse part, in my opinion. I mean, we got everything's in place up there,
right?
Okay, get them up there. You're not going to get a lot of them, no. But to your point, Tank, couple? I mean, there should be a couple more than there are. Two or three more per year goddamn, we stole this kid, got him out of, you know, got him to go past.
Especially when we've been piggybacking our camps around others so they can go to our camp first and then some of these other camps that we're competing with in the summertime.
Just, they're not.
To get them on campus.
They're not competing with those two, especially in recruiting. It's not good enough. It's just not happening. You know what I mean? You see it on Twitter. It's like you don't even have to really follow it. It just kind of pops up on its own, all the offers and stuff. And we do offer guys in the spring, like everyone does, you know, spring of their junior year. But we're not getting them, because then you start to see the other offers come in. The MAC is offering them. Okay, you know, so at least we tried to get the kid. I get it. But then there's the next wave that comes from April to July, the FCS level kid.
Right. Where are we at in the party school rankings? Because, I mean, I think that attracted some
guys. We're top 10, aren't we?
We were like second or third in the late 90s for party schools. So, I mean, how many guys did we get?
Did the best we could.
I mean, if we're not top 25, I mean, we've fallen off. Maybe we can pinpoint it on that.
I think I saw it the other day.
Seven or ten.
Like, it popped up on
Twitter. All right. Well, we can't. That's not the problem.
Pretty much everything was from, Iowa North. It was pretty much every town from Iowa North.
But speaking of that, I mean, that's one thing we're not hearing. A lot of guys get in trouble right now.
Yeah, no, right? they stay out of trouble. That's fine. Yeah. But it's like, we just want to win. You know, I mean, I want to hear an obsession with winning. That's what I want to hear, like an obsession with winning conference titles. We're not winning conference titles in anything. Okay, pick a sport. We're not even winning in hockey.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like if we're not winning in hockey, my God, what are we doing? You know what I mean? So I just wish I heard, you know, like we got to do something, or hopefully behind the scenes, you know, trying to change stuff. I mean, when you're finishing, you know, you get too many teams finishing the bottom half of the conference across the board, right? I mean, we got to change it up a little bit. It's just, I don't know. You know, and that's why, you know, it goes back to recruit. It goes back to just the mentality of the programs. Like, there has to be a little edge here. Like, hey, God, if we don't get our ass in gear, we're going to get fired. You know, or something like that type of thing. It just, where's the edge, you know?
You know, we need to be able to keep local talent, too. Like, you know, people that grew up around UND, we're losing those recruits. So guys that are from Grand Forks and they're going to other schools, you know, that's a telltale sign too. Like, we need to be able to keep those players in Grand Forks. You know, that was the Gophers' problem for a long time. They were losing guys to Notre Dame and Texas for, you know, there's so many good football players in the Twin Cities metro area that could have easily, that probably would have liked to have played for the hometown team, but, you know, they got recruited to, you know, got plucked out by other Southern schools or
thankfully
Notre Dame.
The boat's there to row now. They can stay home, right?
Right, yeah, that's right.
Well, let's keep on this game. Is this a favorable matchup for our defense this week?
It's not bad. I mean, they're not a real crazy outfit. I've always said it about Illinois State. They're a pedestrian unit, you know.
Rittenhouse is good, though. I mean, he's
our
team.
Last year, he messed with us.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You know, went for last week. He went 22 for 29, 251 yards. So, you know, good quarterback, makes good decisions. They got Winkers?
Yeah, running back. Yeah, they're all conference guy. Went down early in the offseason, I think, or right before fall camp or something like that. They lost their number one running back. But, yeah, he kind of took over. Their RPO A lot of simple stuff. Not a real complex game plan by any means, but he'll take out. Rittenhouse is their number two. I believe they're number two running back, isn't he? Or second leading rusher?
Well, in the last game, he was third leading rusher.
Running quarterback hasn't really been good for us in this last 4 weeks, right?
I don't know. It's been rough, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not real concerned, obviously, because this game means nothing. I mean, it's, you know, we're out of it. It means a lot for Illinois State, so they're going to be playing very hard. And if it's a battle in the second half, they're going to be trying to do what they got to do to win the game, you know, type of thing. Whereas we probably won't, I'm guessing. I wonder, would we think we'll see any young guys?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is this where, when we have nothing to play for the postseason, is this where you see where you can, what you have on the table for next year?
That's what I'm wondering.
How many has so-and-so developed?
Because he was in last week.
He was in the first quarter last week. Yeah.
I think he's been in three games. Yeah.
So he can play.
He can play.
Well, I don't know. Quarterback? I don't know. Jerry?
That's something we can talk about. Will there be a quarterback battle next year in fall camp?
Well, there has to be. They're not good enough. They went 5-6. I don't know how that couldn't be. I mean, it's like there should be a 22 position battle is what there should be.
But we've scored points this year.
We scored points, but it's like.
He hasn't been the weakest link on the team. That's what I'm saying.
No.
The quarterback hasn't.
That's a good point.
I think we've been very surprised with Simon this year, haven't we?
Yeah, we
for a guy that we didn't even expect
and,
to be,
you know, to be
in
fair,
the picture
yeah,
this year.
To be
year.
Fair, we you know our offense has outperformed our expectations consistently throughout the year. So it's on the other side of the
I
ball.
I think the other side, we just couldn't stop
average.
Anyone.
Yeah,
yeah,
we've been below. We just can't stop anybody, and we can't stop the run. I mean, we get gashed all the time by big plays up the middle, which you know you just can't have that happen, and that's where. Our weakest link is on our defense, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Simon wasn't – yeah, I was looking at the Missouri Valley stats. He's seventh in the, you know, QB efficiency or QB whatever yards. 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's not bad. You know, I mean, first year starting, threw for, what, 1,900 yards, 62%. All right. You know, that wasn't too bad. It's just – the only pause I have in this thing is that I see the other three Dakotas quarterbacks.
They can win you a game.
Right.
Is that safe to say?
6'2 to 6'5. Well, Bauman's 6'5. But, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of those. But, you know, Cam Miller 6'2. Gronowski 6'2, 6'3. Right in there. Both, you know, what are they? I'm guessing 200, 210 range. Solidly built. They can take off running when they need to. You know, you can run them on QB power when you need 3 yards. You can run them and efficiently drive. You know, that type of thing. Like we do with Quincy, that type of thing, but a glorified version of that, right? You can do that with them. Just, you don't have to think. You can just do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't, you know, necessarily do that. And I know at times we weren't running Simon because he's not, we can't get him hit. We didn't have a backup, and he's, you know, 5'10", 5'11", and, you know, he's going to get hit. He got hit hard a few times this year, and his credit, that kid got right up. You know, some old linemen were helping him up a few times, and he looked like he was just groggy, but shook it off, got back in the huddle, and kept going. But we didn't purposely run him because he can't take those hits, combined with the fact we didn't have a veteran backup or anything. So – I don't know. It's just you look at it and you're like, okay, you know, that's what the other guys that we can't beat, they're all playing this, you know, and or their O-line has this size or their D-line, NDSU, South Dakota State, USD I'm talking, look at their D-line and then look at our D-line, you know what I mean, in different spots. And it starts to add up while we're 5-6. You know, I don't know. I'm just –
No, it's especially with the scheme that we run on defense, where we need, you know, we've talked about it at nauseam before, but, you know, for a 3-4 to actually work well, we need big dudes who have to be double teamed. Our nose guard has to be so big and tough in the middle that they have to double team them every single play, because otherwise the 3-4 doesn't work. And right now, the center or one of the guards can just take our. And no offense to anybody on our defense, but we just don't have those people in those positions that where they have to be double teamed. Otherwise, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, you can single them up. One guy can shoot out onto the backer,
and then the other guard can go to the linebacker. Yep, you know, get to the second level. Yep. And so that's why we're getting gashed. Or with the zone reads, I mean, oh yeah, we don't need to double team him. You know, it just takes a couple seconds of watching tape that oh yeah, we can our guy, you know, our guy can take him. So
go ahead, Tank.
I was just gonna, you know, let's move on to a bright spot though, like. I'll give either of you guys $20 if you said Bo Bellquist was going to be the all-time leading receiver when he left UND when he got on campus. Did either of you guys say that?
No, we did not.
Let's talk about this kid a little bit because, wow, I mean, he came in as a true freshman and we were all like, wow, where did he come from?
Yeah,
and no New Rockford, but and he was contributing and making plays, and that's all he's done his whole career.
Right.
Wow, what a special athlete.
Hell of a career. It's a mindset. He's a tough kid, and he wanted to get better. And he, you know, that receiver thing, that's a tough deal because when you're not the fastest guy, you got to be good at something else. So you got to be good at cutting. You got to be good at leverage. You got to be good at, you know, angles, getting an angle. They stem off the line to get inside the corner. So now if you got a half a body inside, you can beat him inside, but then you can sell the inside, double back out. You know, I mean, there's little nuances right off the line, right?
His football IQ is high,
and all
right?
that stuff. You got to come once you get a kid who combine all that, it doesn't matter how fast that corner is and how good that corner is. He'll carve him up just because he's confident in his routes and he'll sell it. And you know, everything's crisp, crisp routes. And yeah, he's number one in the league. I pulled up the Missouri Valley stats this week. 62 catches, 890 yards, 10 touchdowns. He's leading across. Yeah, he's across the board, number one. So it's heck of a career. Wait, he peaked.
Yeah,
he got better as his career went on.
Yeah,
and he was able to stay on the field too.
Yeah, I don't think he was hurt once, was he? He was never out of. He played every game.
He had an ankle thing one time years ago, and he might have missed the game, but he might even play it. I can't even remember. I just remember hearing he had an ankle thing, but. Hell, he might have been out there.
And that was the same thing with Weston. Yep. That was the key for him. He was always on the field.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Never got hurt.
Yeah.
He knew how to take a hit.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the camp. I think I was up there at that camp, and he came to UND's camp, performed really well to the point where the coach was like, geez. And then I think right after the camp in Grand Forks right there, I think they offered him. You know, whatever they offered him money, you know, not a walk on. They offered him money just based on that. Like, holy, maybe he is for real, you know, because you don't know. You're a 9-man kid, you know, hey, come to camp, show yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he showed himself. He was beating everyone there. And credit to, you know, Danny Freund and staff, Sam King, all those guys, they said, all right, yeah, no, it's real. We believe it. You know, we believe, let's offer him. And, sure enough, you know, it turned
played
out
right away.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very, very good offer. I mean, that's what they need. Mm-hmm. So there's a success story in recruiting.
What is his future?
I don't know.
Is he going to play anymore?
I would think he would try. I just don't know. To project those guys to the next level so hard, especially a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going against the best of the best in college and, you know, guys that are running 4.3, 4.4s, you know, and stuff. And it's hard to project, but maybe Canada?
Yeah,
up
I was
north,
say.
You know, something up north. And
speaking of which, Brady Oliveira was, what, the MVP of the league this year?
Yeah,
That's his second or third one, too, isn't it?
Yeah,
just having an awesome career.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hometown kid, too. He gets to play in Winnipeg.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, too bad they lost the other night. That was a good, wild game. But, yeah, they made it to the Grey Cup again. So, yeah, he's having a unbelievable run career up there, just going to Grey Cups constantly. And
do you think Bo will sign, get a look at a camp in America?
I think he will.
You know, I think he'll get worked out in March. So UND has their own pro day now, and so he'll get worked out in March. Or if he's told, hey, no, we want to see you down in Minneapolis or wherever, he'll have to go down there. That type of thing. But a rookie camp, I mean, the rookie camp for sure, because those are the ones that come first. So they'll bring in all the rookies and maybe sign a tenth of them, you know, that they bring in or something. And then they start the real camp type of thing. So the rookie camp, I don't see why he wouldn't. you know, type of thing. So you see those guys, you know, you see guys that look like him in the NFL games right now. I mean, not to compare him, but intelligent guys.
Yeah. I remember talking to Adam Thielen when he was going through his.
That's the guy that I was thinking of, you know, like you never know.
He was not the fastest guy, but he did everything right. And they say he's one of the best route runners in the NFL.
Well, route running, that's what we go back to. It's all route running and that, you know, the fast guys, even the fast guys. You know, the Devontae Smith, stuff like that, that went to the NFL, they're still good at running routes too. So now they're unicorns because they can do it both. But you got to be able to do one or the other. And usually, but the guys that run fast and don't carve you up don't last long. Okay, I mean, you've seen that.
Troy Williamson?
Yeah,
Troy
Williamson.
Because as soon as you get burned by him,
that's
I'm
who comes
like, okay,
to I mind just, for me.
The corners will just catch up.
Yeah. I mean, give him a little bit more cushion because all he can do is run fast, right? But, so
yeah, no, Bo, I mean, you couldn't have scripted it. That's what you want. You want to get the hometown North Dakota kid. You want to get him. Come there, you know, from New Rock.
And the fact that he stayed this year.
Yeah.
Right?
He could have left.
And he peaked at the right time. So hopefully he does make it to the second
round. He was sold on Isaac Frickty's offense, too, because he went through the spring. And credit to him, you know, you got to go through the spring and see. Give it a chance, right? And he gave it a chance and liked it. All right, I'm staying. Perfect. You know, type of thing. I think I can succeed. Well, 10 touchdowns, 890 yards later, you know, and he's the focus of the offense. He had 10 catches against South Dakota. So, you know, he's the guy out there, and he's earned it. But, yeah, I mean, this week, though, you know, offensively, since we're talking offense, they can score points, you know, to dovetail back into the game. Illinois State's given up 24 a game. They've given up against the better offenses. They've given up points. They have 28 sacks. That's one thing I noticed right away. I was like, "Whoa, okay." So they bring pressure. You know, they're going to try to bring pressure, but we typically don't hang out back there long. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Simon will have to be running, you know, this week. But I don't know why Bo wouldn't have another big week to end his career. You know, why not? Let's get him. Yeah. Let's get him 10 to 15 targets again.
Yeah. Let's pad his numbers. Why not?
Right. Well, and that's going to be interesting, you know, and I would like to see there's chances for points. So I'm fully expecting UND to have a good day. Good day offensively. I want to see Jerry. Bring in Kaminsky. This second quarter, let him run a series. You know what I mean? What the hell? Who cares? Not like we're, you know, it's not like it's so we're so locked in. That we, you know, can't possibly ruin our rhythm for whatever. You know, I mean, like, bring him in, let him play. Let him play a series, see what happens, whatever. Take him back out, third quarter, run him in there for a series or a play or something. Have a little fun with it. See what happens. You know, I don't see why not.
Did you either of you guys play in a game at the end of the year that meant nothing?
No. Yes.
In college?
It was at 2002.
Oh, yeah.
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 That year doesn't count. Nobody counts that year. Yep. No, that was a bad year. So what was that like going into your last week?
It was
Are people kind of burnt
shitty,
out?
Yeah. I mean, because you go from national champions to the worst team in like over a decade that you're playing on, right? Yep. And it's just lack of...
Oh, that season sucked.
Yeah, it did. It did. I feel bad for the seniors. They're all great guys, but we only had like 10 seniors that year. So I mean, our numbers hurt and everything. But it was tough.
Had a different feel.
Yeah.
We're excited to be done and move on and get rid.
Well, but what it was was that it also made us upset that the juniors, sophomores. And the freshmen that experienced that we're playing, we cannot let this happen again. That we need to right the ship and have pride in the program. And so was the focus.
Other than giving us a heart attack every game in 2003, you guys accomplished your goal.
But it was good. It was good to experience that. Like, okay, we cannot let this happen again. Like, we never want to experience this again. We got to do something different. And that translated into the winter workouts where, like, everybody got stronger, everybody got faster.
Everybody had a different edge to them when they came in for morning workouts.
We got to get back to work.
Gets your attention.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
Well, the strength coach gets your attention, you know, and you get chappy.
But well, you yeah, look at it
losing
and
his mind
for
you.
10 well, years.
It was great.
For 10 years, we were playing, you know, 10, 12 years there, we were playing solid football where we've been a middle of the road program
well,
the last few years.
Well, they should have their attention after this.
Yeah.
You know, to dove, you know, to keep it, make a relation here. Yeah, they should have their attention this, after this weekend.
This should be a wake up call. Like, really, right. should, this should be like, right. okay, we, and this is a, this is going to be on the juniors this year and on down that. If you don't like how this week feels, then do something about it in the offseason. Yeah. You know, don't
that morning
let this
where you
happen
don't want to come in, that, work a little harder that day.
Yeah, throw another right. 10 pounds on the bar. Mm-hmm, you know, like right. push yourself. Get all those little wins in the offseason and study some tape. You know, do all those offseason yeah. things that make yourself a better player to put yourself in position to make a difference on the field. Yeah, and that's just what it's going to take. If you don't, if you're like, yeah, you know, I had a great year. This is a lot of fun. Then do the same thing. Do
well,
the same
I,
thing that you
I
did
do
last
think,
year.
To that point, Matt, you know, I, once again, we have UND has coaches around the area now. Put it that way, right? That have moved on, okay, and around the country, really. And you know, a lot of us have stayed in touch with them. There needs to be more of an obsession with football. I'm just going to come out and say it. That's what that's some of the feedback I've got. There needs to be more of an obsession, like you're saying, an obsession from
the team
December to March
from
you know,
the team,
yeah,
not
from
the university
from the team. The well, team. I want it more from the university too, but which I spoke about earlier. But there needs to be more of a borderline. We're here to play football, school. Comes slightly after type of a mentality. Yeah, it's not that. I mean, I know it sounds bad, but it really, I mean, let's be honest.
Football,
that's
you.
Well, that's what it is. Well, I mean, here's the deal.
That's
the deal.
How I was, honestly.
Everyone graduates.
I want to play football.
Everybody graduates. It's impossible not to graduate these days. If you show up for 4 years, you're graduating, okay? So graduation rates are given now. I mean, it's not even a talking point anymore. Right. As long as you come, it's easy. Look at the grade point. I mean, UND had like a 3, the football team had like a 3.4. I mean, what the hell? How easy is it right now? 3.4 for 100 guys? I mean, when I was there, it was like we were pushing 3.0, like we're hoping to get over it. I think we did, but it's 100 guys, you know, so you got your 1.8, you know, dragging it down, whatever. You know what I mean? That's fine. Everyone struggles at different things. But now it's never been easier, obviously, because you never hear anything about nobody graduating. You never hear anything about a bad GPA. So things are getting easier, or kids
never
are
out for grades.
Yeah, well, yeah they're never out. They're never ineligible. Okay, so honestly, you can pull off school and obsess over getting better at football because you only get 4 years to play. Okay, you only get 4 years at this thing. And then you're done, and then you become one of us. You become a has-been who just goes to a desk job, right?
Right.
So you might as well
and
obsess over it.
And then you make a podcast
it.
And talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And so you can make money doing it now.
Right, like, yeah.
The better you play, the more you're going to
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's just not what it needs to be to where they live and die. Now that's what I'm hearing. Okay, so I'm not trying to break news or anything, but they just need to live and die and be like, we need to get better. How do we get this program back? You know, basically, you can the last time we had to go through this was, you know, 89, 90, 91. Those guys kind of made up their mind and said they were living and dying and this sucks. And they started to get better players and they started to lift a little harder and just change their mentality and install different schemes and like, hey, you know, we're close. Why, you know, let's get over the hump. We're sick of this, getting our ass kicked by getting NDSU hanging 60 on us, you know, with the Veer, and we got to get better. And slowly it turned the corner to where it was good for 15 years, 20 years, whatever, you know, what do you want to call it? It feels like we're in that stage. You gotta, you know, we're sitting in the middle now. We're not at the bottom. Like, because in the late 80s, they were towards the bottom. Mm-hmm. So now we're sitting in the middle, and it's like, we can't keep sitting in the middle.
The last 10 years, we just can't get over that.
Right.
Unfortunately,
I always say we can't take advantage of the opportunities that are provided to us.
Right. Yeah.
Where to take the next step as a program.
There's no misinformation out there. Beat South Dakota State, beat NDSU, and you're in business. All right, you are in business. Yeah. You're driving the bus.
Even in their down years, even if they have a down year, if you beat those two schools, like you have a good shot at getting to the semifinals.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's in the way with the state of FCS. It's kind of like it's pretty much what it is now. It's the Montanas and North Dakota and South Dakota. You know, those three states are running the show right now, and unfortunately we're last, you know, out of the six schools, we're sixth. So gotta look at it in the off season and say there's no reason why we can't be third or fourth or the second. You know what I mean? And why not?
We could have been third, I think, this year. Like if we had the potential to be third, but
right.
And it should piss people off. It should be a motivating factor.
Because there's nothing to be complacent about.
You're right.
We haven't won anything.
Like
we haven't won a conference title. I mean, what?
Since 16.
Yeah, 16 in Big Sky. So I'm not, you know,
We had a share in the Missouri, didn't for COVID, spring, our COVID year? Yeah.
That was odd.
Do we count that COVID year?
Not really. I mean, I don't know who counts it, I guess. South Dakota State made the national. That helped them, though. That springboard, they made the national championship, you know, South Dakota. So, but it's just, you know, to sum it up, it's not okay. You know, it's just like, you can't be like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. We'll get them next year. No, we're not getting them next year. That's the problem.
No.
We're never getting them next year. So we got to get,
And we've said that the last 10 years, right? Yeah. So we've said, oh, we'll get them next year, 10 years. It's a broken record at this point.
All right. And, you know, it's not, you know, I didn't win a national championship when I was at UNISAR. I'm not sitting here saying it, you know. We lost in the first round, but we lost in the first round to the eventual national championship in overtime on the road. We should have beat them, okay? And we blew it, basically, on the road to Northwest Missouri. So, you know, I'm not sitting here saying I led my program to the national title or anything, but we're also 9-1, you know, and headed into that game. I don't know why we weren't at home. I can't remember what happened, but for some reason we went on the road and we were 9-1. But
is that where Tony hurt his thumb the night before?
The day before. he catches the ball and hits him in the end of the thumb, and now our quarterback can't throw going into the court. God, Tony. Yeah. Like, we're looking at him like, Stein. What do you mean you hurt your thumb? You're the quarterback.
Just a fluke.
Yeah, like
snap, right?
Snapped it early.
It was getting dark. Yeah. And
we're at Red River. We're practicing at Red River because they had grass. So Northwest Missouri had grass. We're like, hey, let's do our last Thursday one on grass at Red River. Well, it's getting dark. He's not looking. Quarterback snaps. It hits him in the end of the thumb. Yeah. Jam thumb. Can't throw very well. What? Like, Tony. Like, we're looking at each other like, he's our quarterback. That's not good. But whatever. I mean, we battled. So it's not.
He still won everyone over with that smile, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that personality.
The hair like a Viking. Yep.
So, well, let's get to predictions. I'll lead us off. I'm gonna say we're going out with a win, 28-24 on the road.
Here we go, Tank. Yep. Little optimism.
It's gonna set us up for the next year.
Okay.
Build us to a great offseason.
I like it.
Yeah. No, I'll piggyback on that. I think we're going to have a good showing. Our offense is going to do well. And, you know, I'm hoping, but, you know, I expect our defense to show some life. We have to give us some optimism going into the offseason. Our defense needs to perform 31-21.
Ooh.
Who?
Us.
Ooh. Two homers?
Yeah.
Love it. We didn't... 31-21?
Yeah.
And we'll write that down. I'm not as optimistic. The reason I'm not as optimistic.
Yeah, your mic down. You're done. You're out of here.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for bringing us down today, Kelly.
Well, here's the problem. Illinois State's got to win. They're 8-3. So that's where I'm struggling with this, is because I have no doubts we're going to show up. You know, we're not going to roll over. We're not going to go down the road. I don't think we would do it. We've really never done that. And you know, look terrible and just
we're not
roll
playing
over.
For the first draft pick.
Right. Yeah. So I just see them with a heightened sense of urgency, and that changes things in the middle of a game. That's where that's the only thing, you know. Whereas last week, I think we were wrong. As the game started out, I started to think back to our predictions. I was like, you know, I didn't give us credit for the fact that we would bounce. South Dakota State was the bad game. That was the, hey, we didn't come ready to play, and a better team just whacked us type of game. Now we gotta have a different sense of urgency, and they came out with it. I didn't give them credit for that. You know, I didn't think of that, but they did. They did what they needed to do and came out. So this one, I have no, you know, I have no doubts we're gonna be all right. We're gonna score some points, but I just think that Illinois State, being in the position they're in, is gonna be tough for us to win.
It's on the road too.
Yeah, on the road. We're 0-4, I think, on the road this year. So I got 34-26. You know, something like that. We lose 34-26. I think it's a good game, but you know, last year we were in the same position. They came to our place. They were actually 6-4 when they came to our place. We were 6-4. Yeah, we're both 6-4, but we had a much better resume because we had the NDSU win.
That's right.
So I don't think they were going to get in again with 7-4, but they came, you know, ready to play and to ruin our season.
Yep.
And we pulled out 22-21. It was like, whoa, a little too tight. But this is kind of the same scenario in a way. We go there, try to ruin, you know, their playoff. If they lose us, they might not get in just because that's how bad their record is. But, yeah, I'm going to go 34-26, Illinois State. Just, I don't know, too much on the line for them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm just check. I'm just like, come on.
You know? Tank.
Who's the odd man out?
Yeah, Tank and Matt staring at me pissed off.
I am.
I'm trying to be positive here. Come on.
I hate you right now. Well, it should be a fun one. 12 o'clock kickoff on the road. 11 o'clock pregame on the radio. Jack Michaels, Mike Berg, Paul Ralston will have the coverage for you on Saturday. And should be a fun one, right? I mean,
it'll be a good game. There'll be some fireworks in it for sure.
Watch it, listen to it. Whatever you need to do.
And we've been talking. You'll probably hear from us in the next couple weeks. We'll probably sit back, kind of take the season in, get our thoughts together, and have that postseason show for you in a couple weeks. And we'll post that on the Twitter machine.
Yeah. We'll recap the season, give our thoughts moving forward. We kind of gave some today.
Yeah.
But expanded thoughts. We'll see, you know, see what happens after the season's over, and then
give ourselves a 24-hour rule, so to speak, after a game, and
for the hangover to digest
everything that just happened this year. But yeah,
it is hard to believe we're at the end of the year, though.
It is.
This thing goes faster and faster every fall. It seems
it did. That was a quick fall. 12-game season too.
Yeah,
I don't know. Seemed like went good, but yeah, I will be back, but I do want to thank KFGO. I want to thank.
I've been forgetting them. Joel Heitkamp gave us the keys to the studio here.
Joel. I heard him on the radio this morning. Is he doing the sideline? Is he doing? He dabbles on some.
I don't know.
Locker, some parking lot. I mean, stuff. And then
he's really not a good broadcaster. Yes. So I don't know why they put him on there.
That's what I was thinking. but he said something like, "I'm going with UND this weekend." I wonder if he's doing sideline or something. Is Paul? Maybe Paul has a basketball game to do. Yeah. So. Yeah, I want to thank KFGO because this would have been nice.
Yeah, this has been great.
We're in the
Jack FM studio.
Yeah, Jack FM 101.9. Jack FM studios. But yeah, it's nice having this set up in here. So I want to thank.
And thank you, Tank, for lining all that up.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be a part of it. It's been fun.
You kind of brought down the record of the team and kind of a buzzkill. Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. You know,
haven't had this this worst of a record before. But
I think every year I was on the sideline, we made the playoffs. So I can't take credit for this one. I do nothing but win. And I was just the halftime guy in 2002, so that doesn't count.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing to do with that one. But, yeah, thanks, guys. Again, thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Sports Bar, Grill and Casino, Development Home, Inc., Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance, The Toasted Frog, Fine Dining in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo, the 1883 Collective, the NIL arm for UND Athletics, Interstate Industrial, Steam Cleaning and Painting in the Bakken Oil Fields, Marty Shade, thank you so much for all your support for UND football and American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara, tanklogo.com for all your promotional products and corporate apparel needs. Well, that's going to do it. It's going to wrap it up for this week. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.